Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for a chill show. Not much happening other than, of course, the whole crash of the markets, bank run, worries. But I think we're getting deceived here. That's what I was thinking about today. Today, I was spending time with my neighbor who I introduced to Bitcoin. And I wanted him to get the top security for his Bitcoin. So I went to his home and I started showing him how to make the metal plates and everything. I was so happy to see an older man than me that I could introduce to something like this that is so important, Bitcoin, especially in those times. It went very well. But I was thinking as we were working on securing his keys and creating his wallets, we're getting deceived here. It's not a bank run, what happened. It is not a bank run. It is a bunch of people withdrawing from a gigantic bank money that they should have had, that the bank should have had to reimburse. It's not a bank run, what happened. It is corporate pillaging. It is a bunch of people who pushed the system to its limits, who said, we will honor this deposit, this deposit, this deposit, while they were investing all this money on risky bets, and they were paying themselves bonuses, as we learned from a video today from MSNBC that Stephen Robinson sent me. So we have a bunch of people who have pillaged a corporation, then they ran, and then the government came in to take their place and do what they could with what's left. This is not a bank run. It's not a panic of popular mass all going to withdraw small amounts. It is just a withdrawal. What people call a bank run right now is a withdrawal that shouldn't have caused problems if this bank was organized properly. But you always have the problem that when you trust your money to someone else, that someone else can use it to make profits. That's what the banks do in bull runs. So if the bank has accumulated billions of dollars, they will put it in just regular stocks. And because the stocks market keeps going up and up and up during the bull run, they're making money, and all they owe you back really is the initial amount. They keep the profit for them. Or they'll give you a fraction of a percentage in interest rate on your checking account. But when you enter a bear market and the stock market doesn't continuously go up and up and up, then these people have nothing left. And if they hold on too aggressively to their bullish position, then they don't have money to reimburse basic withdrawals. That is what's happening. It's not a bank run. It's not a sudden nervousness of the population going to withdraw, although it could become this. The initial events, the SVB stuff, was not this. Angry Sicilian says, Jeff is so usually on time, I love him for this. Yes, very rare that I come out late on this show. How are you guys doing on the regular chat? Thank you for being here. So let's get started on the review of all these Silicon Valley Bank news. U.S. moves to protect all deposits at Silicon Valley Bank in a bid to stem a wider fallout. Yeah, because what we have is a bank that has failed that could cause a bank run. But I don't think people are so stuck in the virtual world. People are so stuck in electronic money. I don't think there's going to be a significant bank run caused here. And on top of it, you have the government coming in and saying, well, even those people who were not insured, those people who had more than $250,000, we will honor their amounts. Well, that's nothing else than the government paying riches, paying the wealthy, while the wealthy have made poor decisions in the handling of their money. Purple Tuna says, Eric Weinstein blocked JF, but Brett didn't. How does that make sense? JF hadn't interacted with Eric in years, as he said. Yeah, you know, Brett Weinstein is still following me on Twitter, but his brother has blocked me. I think his brother may have disliked my opinion on the Letter Apron Club guy. But if you're out there on Joe Rogan, you know, pumping your chest and saying, I'll debate anyone while you talk about Letter Apron Club guy, why wouldn't you respect another intellectual who happens to have a different view than you? It's not like I yelled at Eric Weinstein. It's not like I even tweeted at him. My last at of Eric Weinstein, I searched it on Twitter advanced search. It's from 2020. So it's not like I was spamming his notifications or anything. So the mere fact that someone disagrees with him leads him to block me. I mean, at this point, I wanted to make a tweet today, but I didn't have the time to fully write it and fully think about everything I want to include in this tweet, but everything is fake. Our intellectual class is fake. Jim Cramer is fake. He's pushing onto the population, perhaps of fake viewers of CNN, fake stocks that they are sure will crash. The media is fake. The bank runs are fake. The intellectual dark web is fake. Every fucking thing is fake. I'm tired. I would like true engagement like we dreamed that the internet could bring many years ago. It didn't bring this. Instead, the system of fakery came onto the internet and led to censorship, disengagement. And when we were just brought back on Twitter by Elon Musk, then the very people who benefited from this system of censorship so they could look like they were openly engaging for a couple of years because we weren't there to call them out, we start calling them out super respectfully, super loosely even. I mean, it's not like I went ham on any of these guys. And they block me. And even Rollo Tomasi, you know, blocked me before defaming me on his show. It's like, blocked me in advance just because he knew he would be ashamed of what he's doing. Same thing with Ryan Stone. So these guys, they prepare in advance to tell lies on their show about me. And they make sure that I'm blocked on Twitter before so that I can shame them. Or at least they can act like I didn't shame them. They can ignore me going forward. It's so disgusting. I'm disgusted by the world, but at the same time, existence is a blessing and I'm so happy with life. So, but I'm just sad that the world, of my private life is awesome, but the public life, the public space is in crumbles. Neon Blacksmith says, Eric is just a man by proxy. If JF was Jewish, he would definitely debate Papa. Yes, generally that happens, except Sam Harris versus Brett Weinstein. This didn't happen. So I don't know here. Maybe there were two branches of Judaism here. I don't know. Chef Marv sends a super chat. He says, the Fed told everyone to dump treasuries over a year ago because they want higher rates to fight inflation, especially long-term rates. But institutions held on to them, and now they're taking a loss. Heck, even the Bank of Canada is losing money on its treasuries holding. Get a clue, people. Yeah, I heard that this is a big part of the story, this treasury holding, because the Fed went aggressively and they raised hikes aggressively. Basically deceived people with a very slow, very long period of 0% rate. I was looking at a graph that I retweeted earlier today. They went flat, 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 0, 0, 0 since apparently 2008, and then started a slow, slow, slow hike, and then COVID came, and then went back to zero, and then they super hiked. So basically, they fooled many institutions. They messed with the players who had assumed, oh, a lot of players apparently were calling bluffs. You know, we've seen it on Zero Hedge many times. A lot of the economic players were saying, oh, the Fed is bluffing, you know, it's going to care for us. But in a way, they're right to think this, because it's going to care for you one way or another. It might take you over by governmental decree, but it, in the end, everyone is getting saved. So we have a whole ecosystem of cryptocurrency that has to compete with this infinite injection of money that the system does, and that eventually even recuperates you when you fall, when you're worth nothing, when you are in total bankruptcy. Micronova, and that creates incentives. So see, what we're seeing today is the result of a system of incentives that were created back in the days of George Bush, Obama. When they saved the bank once, they sent a signal to everyone, as long as we have someone in power who's not completely crazy like Trump, as long as we have one of the boys in power, you're going to get saved. And so I don't think it's random that this happens in the current circumstances. I think that the private sector, the banking, financial systems, they know they have their boys in power. They know Joe Biden will do whatever is needed to save them. And so they cause their own crash and they run with the money. And so we have two situations, FTX doing this. So what are the characteristics of those corporations? Extremely generous in the charity sphere of the left. Effective altruism. Extremely generous in political donation. Extremely generous in bonuses and running away with the money. Like days before before the crash comes. Those are the characteristics of a system that has politicized its own saving. And that is faking its own failure, really, to run with the money so that the money is distributed to all these charities where it's untraceable and where even the government says, fuck it, we're not going to start, you know, gathering it back. We're just going to print new one. That's what's happening here. And it is a extremely aggressive, but I believe intentional and politically planned pillaging of Western civilization that we're seeing. Micronova sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I lost 300,000 USD gambling. Can we get our nepotistic friends and the government to bail me out? We can't. That's the problem. That's the You should be punished for losing that money in gambling. You made bad decisions. You bet on things that you knew you didn't have the edge on. And there you go. You should pay the price of it in full. But no one is paying prices in the banking sector, and I don't think it will ever happen again. We're going to have a truly right-wing president one day that says no to these things, but when can you see that day happen? I can't. Purple Tuna says, the paradox of blocking JF is that the fact he blocked him has finally proven without doubt that Eric knows who JF is and what he's about. We hadn't had this confirmation before, as far as I'm aware. Yes, that thing I noted in my mind yesterday. When I realized that this had happened, I said, okay, so this is not a, I don't know who you are, you don't exist. This is more like a, I know who you are, I have no interest in talking to you because it's not in my interest to do so. And therefore, I block you. Eric is such an amateur ignorer. The ultimate block is to completely ignore someone, including not giving them the attention and recognition of being officially blocked. To truly block someone, one mustn't block them. You are absolutely correct. So much amateurism here. Like, you look like a Neil deGrasse Tyson. This guy, I can throw stuff at him. I can shoot arrows at him on Twitter. Just little stuff because this guy is so insignificant that who cares, you know? But sometimes I'll just send an arrow just for fun. This guy is a true ignorer, like you say. He's a true professional. This guy doesn't block me, doesn't answer my tweets. As far as we know, he may never be in front of his screen. It may be a staff of his that handles his Twitter. But yeah, that is the true professional way of ignoring someone. And Eric Weinstein here has given me another medal that I can attach on my vest here. I was saying, concerning this whole bailout of people who weren't insured, are you kidding me? Post-facto insurance you don't have to pay for is theft. I mean, we're going to have to start pointing the various ways in which the government steals, because taxation is theft is one thing, but inflation is taxation is another thing, and post-facto insurance that you don't have to pay for is theft. Because it's a way of selecting who you will save, who you will not save. And ultimately what it boils down to is there are certain players who are made not to fail. They cannot fail because it's been mathematically determined by the government in the case that they do fail and therefore they are incentivized to fail, we will save them. That's another way to say the government just gave a grant to a bunch of very wealthy people. I mean, imagine that the government does this, but without the whole cover of a bank run. What is the newspaper title here? Government gives $500,000 to very rich corporation. That's what happened here. Government gave $500 million or more. I mean, I'm just thinking about one of the corporations here that had something like $500 million in their bank account. Government has granted money to Harry and Meghan, the monarchist of England. That is what happened. But that's not a good newspaper title, especially not for leftists. Leftists need a societal problem that there must be a governmental solution for. So how do they frame this? Well, it's a bank run now. Well, it's a bank run. As far as we can tell, it's a single corporation withdrawing. It's a single corporation that asked for a withdrawal. That is your bank run? And so it's not a bank run. It is a planned pillaging of whatever was left there and an attempt at getting richer than they possibly could under their legal obligation. There's a good video by Tech Lead shared on Discord. Depositors will have access to all of their money starting Monday, March 13. Probably the quickest response in the financial sector that has ever happened in human history. Are you kidding me? Already? It's over. It's over. And that's the title of Tech Lead. He says it's over. Now, meanwhile, look at this. Those are the tentacles of the system I'm starting to perceive, okay? With all of this, you also had Jim Cramer, like the usual suspect. Jim Cramer said you could make a lot of money with Signature Bank. Signature Bank is now the second bank that has been taken over by the FDIC. Today, the bank was shut down by regulators, making it the third largest banking failure in U.S. history. And here you have Jim Cramer, which has been a subject of ridicule and fun. I think it's funny to see just how wrong Jim Cramer is. But I'm starting to think that we may be laughing at a massive crime here. I'm starting to think that Jim Cramer may be an agent who is dedicated to directing people to the wrong place. Not just by being an idiot and being the useful idiot that the rich people who control the media have bought him somehow. And he's kind of the joke that they, you know, when they do their lizard, you know, the meme with the lizard people. And then I told them, buy Signature Bank. But how is it that this guy systematically directs his audience to the things that fully crash, but like in spectacular ways, not in ways where you could say he's an idiot and he's being used, but in a way that you could say he's actually so good at finding the things that will crash that it can only be intentional. Like you can flip a coin and you're going to end up with Signature Bank investments, maybe. But would you end up so much systematically wrong all the time if you were to flip a coin? No, you'd get some good calls too. And look at the style of his speech.
Let's start with Signature Bank. This is a New York-based commercial bank, but it's got 36 private client offices sprinkled across the New York metro area, California, and North Carolina.
Do you see his pronunciation? I think this is the pronunciation of someone faking casualness. Am I wrong here? I perceive fake casualness in this. That's a guy who intentionally slurs his speech to look like he's kind of messy. And look at the shirt here, the arms pulled up. That's also a kind of, I'm messy, I'm currently working, sorry you're bothering me type of attitude. I think it's a whole made-up thing.
Let's start with Signature Bank.
Let's start with Signature Bank. And look at how he says North Carolina. There's not even the letter N in it.
This is a New York-based commercial bank, but it's got 36 private client offices sprinkled across the New York metro area, California, and North Carolina.
And North Carolina.
The thing about Signature is that it's a business-oriented bank. And to the extent that they have a consumer business, it's focused on the wealthy. Namely,
isn't it fascinating that the second bank who has the same problem as the SVB also has these features? Those were two banks that were recommended to the wealthy. They were specialized in businesses, and if they were dealing with individuals, it was people like Harry and Meghan. We have a system of parasitism in the rich spheres here, where these people were misdirected, and Jim Cramer is part of this system. Naberius calls it performative blue colorism. Yeah, that's what it is, right? I mean, it's like I've never seen it played so well. He actually looks like someone who doesn't, you know, he looks like someone who's dirty in the details. He looks like someone who could maybe fix your sink pipes at the same time as he talks to you about what's happening in the economy.
Only business owners and senior executives who do a lot of business and you can make a lot of money working with. Let's start with Signature Bank. This is a New York-based commercial.
You could make a lot of money working with them. Systematically wrong, Jim Cramer. Trading was halted on many bank stocks today. Justin, trading halted. That was this morning for multiple U.S. bank stop. Everything is fine, says Joe Biden. FRC is new focus, very good bank. So if we follow the Jim Cramer index, FRC has been called a very good bank 3 days ago by Jim Cramer. And Zero Hedge was saying, come on. First Republican Bank sinks by record 67% at the open. So if we follow the Jim Cramer index, the next to fall might be First Republic Bank. At least at the level of their stocks, they have lost a lot of value. Rudy Lucid says, maybe he gets some ad revenue from reading their names and giving them airtime. I wish there was more transparency behind what leads the media to be interested into talking about something. Because when you think about it, it's very important. You know, the media doesn't go after any story that is of public interest. Oh, no. I mean, you're going to get in trouble if you're a journalist and you go see your editor and you're like, I have this big story. Like, and if it's a big story a la Project Veritas, forget it. They don't want to hear about it. Oh, why don't you leave this on the side? That's because ultimately editorial teams are in bed with a bunch of people who are flowing money from the top to them. The reason a newspaper or an outlet survives is not the audience. The audience is what they need so they can gather the money from the big payers. I wish there were laws that force transparency of why is it that you want to write a hit piece about JF? Like, why? I would love to know. Why do you feel the need? Why does Jim Cramer have the idea that morning to send people towards Signature Bank and say you're going to make money? How does that happen? I'd like to see the funnel of money here. Unfortunately, on their First Amendment doctrine and business private corporate right to privacy, that kind of stuff, we're probably not going to get this. But we could rethink a society in which it's absolutely essential to display and disclose your sources, the reason you do things. I would like to see much transparency. Perhaps there is a way we could recruit the force of the internet for this. We could have journalistic organizations linked to blockchain mechanism, and perhaps we could trace all of the money that goes into the organization, and we could know what has been requested. I don't see the media willfully submitting to this, but perhaps we could make a better system and a better world elsewhere. Micronova says, all you need to know about broadcast media is who pays for commercials, cars, drugs, poison food. Absolutely. Narrative Control says, Stephen Robinson. Dr. Deadname says, tell them to buy signature. Next week, fake contrition and regret will be in touch. Yeah, I mean, how direct is the communication? I'd love to know, because clearly I can see in the way the media operates, I can see all these this dishonest money influencing from the top. There's no way that the media naturally converged to what it is right now. But I thought that this would get replaced by the internet, but instead what we have is that these dishonest networks, they've penetrated the internet and they tried taking over it, and they were successful for many platforms. Biden insists the banking system is safe. U.S. President Joe Biden attempted to calm the markets in a Monday morning speech where he insisted that Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe and that U.S. bank regulators and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, I don't know exactly, took immediate action to stop contagion among small and medium-sized banks following the Friday collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. So they are acting quickly and generously. I mean, at what point do we call this whole thing planned? At what point is it just a choreography? Because I see a choreography. I see a choreography that was set in motion from the day of the bailouts, of the last big bailouts from the transition between Bush and Obama. Micronova says, how about, okay, no, this has no relation to, he was talking to Purple Tuna. Senator Mark Kelly, meanwhile, called for social media censorship to prevent bank runs. Democrats are demanding ever more censorship in a widening social media panic. I think this is a red herring, because I don't think the system is threatened by people demanding cash. I just don't think that's what is threatening the system here. So I think that Senator Mark Kelly here is sending us toward a place where our attention shouldn't be drawn. The problem is not the little guy on the internet with his 20 viewers saying, I'm super nervous. Although this creates some degree of panic, I don't think that the banks we saw fall is this. I think that the banks we saw fall are banks that were servicing people who have hundreds of millions of dollars. And so these people do not act based on what they hear on social media. They do not have a YouTube account or a Twitter account where they say to other millionaires, hey, take your money out of SVB. Per Palm says, hello and good evening, JF. Good evening to all the fine folks in the chat. Kind blessings for safety and happiness to all. Thank you so much, Per Palm. And if you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. And if you'd like to support the show on a monthly basis, we will have our private hangout this Wednesday. This Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So join the Subscribe Star or the Backed By. The links are in the description below. The show needs your monthly support to keep going. Today's events are consistent with an imminent U.S. recession. See, exactly the thoughts that I was sharing yesterday. I was like, those are the circumstances in which it starts looking like a solid recession. Big inflation and trouble in the liquidity that will eventually affect the work market. That is the kind of circumstance in which we could have a real depression. The market is sending a consistent message today. It fears that a U.S. recession is about to start. We are now pricing in Fed cuts rather than hikes. The yield curve is bull steepening sharply. Commodities and equities are down with cyclicals underperforming. This is all consistent with an imminent U.S. recession. First, a systematic financial event is not a necessary condition for recessionary dynamic. I agree. Second, the dollar is behaving extremely unusually, down against the vast majority of G10 and EM currencies despite a recession priced in. And third, the correlation breakdown between risk appetite and the dollar will put pressure on portfolio construction if sustained. There was a beautiful tweet that was saying, if the economy crashes, Bitcoin rises. If the banks are not saved, Bitcoin rises because of the loss of trust. If the banks are saved, Bitcoin rises because of the inflation expectations and just the gratuity of government help in this sector. So I'm super happy about the current events, and there's really no direction that it can take where I'm unhappy. I think that anything here is good for Bitcoin. Steven Robinson says, HEX has made it to 8.4 cents today. Let's go. Oh, really? Wow, HEX is making some massive movements then. Yeah, it's currently at 82 cents. Oh my God, Steven. For you, who is a very enthusiastic HEX supporter, I can imagine your happiness. I have difficulty getting excited about my HEX because my HEX is in a deposit that will be unlockable in 2025. I'm like, yeah, well, even if it was going to $1 million, I would still have it locked in. And the question is, can it sustain? Can it sustain its value up to 2025 when I can withdraw it? That is the question. But yeah, I'm super happy when the X rises because it's such a it's a crypto that I didn't particularly believe in. But because I had Richard Hart on the show, I was like, you know, sounds good. And it turned very good. It turned very good. Steven Robinson says, in 2025, the price of HEX will be $50. Well, if it's this, Steven, I'm inviting you for a ribeye meal with the champagne and everything. But I don't think it will be $50. I think that would be ridiculous. Downfall of SVB caused by absolutely idiotic decisions by leadership, employee says. The blame game is on for who caused Silicon Valley Bank's collapse, and the tech sector is pointing the finger at SVB CEO Greg Becker for allowing his company to go down in history as the second biggest U.S. banking failure on record. One Silicon Valley Bank employee who requested anonymity to speak candidly was dumbfounded by how Becker publicly acknowledged the extent of the bank's financial troubles before privately lining up the necessary financial support to ride out the storm. This set the stage for the panic that ensued as customers scrambled to pull their money. That was absolutely idiotic, the employee who works on the asset management side of Silicon Valley Bank told CNN in an interview. They were being very transparent. It's the exact opposite of what you normally see in a scandal. But their transparency and forthrightness did them in. So they publicly acknowledge the extent of the bank's financial troubles. Okay, but at some point, you know, transparency, maybe, I mean, when you see that it's going to crash. But what I found the most shocking is that MSNBC is reporting that like days before they reported those financial troubles, they gave themselves bonuses.
Did you just say that the Silicon Valley bank owners took bonuses on Friday?
That is exactly true. On Friday morning, before the FDIC...
On Friday. Friday is 3 days ago. Friday, bonuses. Saturday, government takeover. Monday, all depositors are made whole by the government. This is a transfer of money. This is why we should look at all of this as organized pillaging. This is... What's the difference between this and the government saying, I'm corrupt, I'm just going to write a check to my friend who's CEO at SVB? There's no difference. The difference is there's an excuse and a public event claim attached to it. Stephen Robinson says, insider trading, I wonder how Nancy Pelosi made out these past few days. You know, Nancy, I think, wouldn't want to get so obvious as to short SVB. That would be obvious, but maybe she will. I don't know. Micronova sends $5. Thank you so much. He says, Monero is better than Hex. You know what? I agree. I don't have Monero, but I agree that Monero is fundamentally more important than Hex. Hex is a nice game theoretical, it's a nice implementation of gamified savings. It's absolute poetry. But Monero is a much more major cryptocurrency in the long run. Monero has more social impact than Hex. That doesn't mean it will have more gains. That doesn't mean it will outlive Hex. It means it's more important socially that we have Monero than we have Hex. Although Hex has its social role. Hex basically... brings to a whole new population, the kind of new generations, the concept of saving and the concept of you get rewarded for saving, which was supposed to be the intent of the system. But the system has converged away from this in that you don't really get a reward for having those low interest rate certificates of deposit. You merely stay afloat of the ongoing inflation. So I believe that Hex has the combination of the reward that a certificate of deposit should have had, and in fact more than this, and the growth of the crypto world, which is itself kind of anti-inflationary. Stephen Robinson says, I will put my Hex gains into Monero and Bitcoin, but for now my wealth will grow with Hex. Absolutely. Well, that's a big statement. You know, I'm fully enthusiastic if you have a small share of your Hex, of your assets in Hex. But if you're telling me that you have everything in Hex, bro, that is, I commend you. Unbelievable. I mean, you love living at the edge, Stephen. It's like you, to me, it's like you were to tell me, Jeff, I have everything in Doge. I'm all in on Doge. I don't see how things can how things can go wrong with Doge. I like the dog. I'm with Doge. Stephen Robinson says, I'm balls deep. Oh my God, Stephen. Well, you know, fortune rewards the brave, and that is brave, my friend. That is brave. Big trouble in little banks. Bailout sparks buying panic in bonds, Bitcoin, and bullion. Bitcoin has been performing extremely well today in reaction to all the instability. The FDIC stepped in and saved the world again last night, but nobody told regional banks whose shares are down dramatically today. Yes, it's not all banks will suffer from this era, but some who are poorly organized will. So I made the parallel earlier in the show between FTX and SVB. So basically, both with FTX and SVB, we get corporate organizations that made it their mission to redistribute with effective altruism as well as political donations. And then one look into them and there is no more money. Redistributionists don't make good managers. But this is what we're faced with. We're faced with a privatization of redistributionism, which is what motivates the left. The left believes that a government must be there so that we can redistribute. So the left won't take much issue with this. Some of the anti-capitalist left may be annoyed. They may say, oh, well, why save those rich people and banks? Why not distribute this amount of money to everyone? But fundamentally, the left is fine with the levers of government being played with in dishonest way, if need be, so that sprinkles of cash get sent onto the population. And from the perspective of leftist redistributionism, it doesn't matter if fraud is part of it or if it doesn't perfectly get redistributed. If the wealthy are paying and if somehow the sprinkle of money reaches the bottom, they're fine. And that was the philosophy behind FTX and SVB. As Christina was saying, the SVB collapse has been devastating in more ways than one. They supported women, minorities, and the LGBTQ community more than any other big bank. This includes not just diverse events, but actual funding. SVB helped us move one step forward. Without them, we moved two steps back. And Daily Mail was saying, woke head of risk assessment at Silicon Valley Bank prioritized LGBT initiatives, including organizing a month-long pride campaign before bank lost billions and collapsed. So what I see here is the regime doing what it wants to do, rewarding its own, making sure that money has flown to the right people, the people that will support the regime in return, the leftists, and now making everyone whole so that basically what you did is you took money from Harry and Meghan, you gave it to the LGBT community, and then you made Harry and Meghan whole by the government. So what do we have here? It's a tripartite, three jumps. Government to Harry and Meghan, Harry and Meghan to LGBT community. Well, the government has given money to the LGBT community. Just like in FTX, they have given money to Ukraine and to politicians on the Democrat side and to leftist politicians within the Republican Party. That is what we have. We have to see it as, don't care about the middleman here. Harry and Meghan, SVB, First Republic Bank, or whoever it turns out to be, all of this doesn't matter. This is an operation from the government to a bunch of corporate players and community associations of all kind. Go away says, wait, what does this have to do with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle? Because Prince Harry had, as we've seen yesterday on the show, Prince Harry had most of his money at SVB. Because he was, according to intelligence and, you know, private sources that say they know about the matter, Prince Harry was recommended by someone in England to put his money in SVB. So they're exactly the kind of depositors who will get, they shouldn't have been insured, but they will get insured due to the government's intervention. Look at FDIC's balance sheet below. FDIC, so those are the people who claim that they have the insurance to make people whole. FDIC only has $125 billion in securing a total of $9.9 trillion. That's only a 1.26% that they are truly capable of honoring. So Patrick Bet-David is asking a very valid question here. FDIC may be able to protect the depositors at SVB, but it wouldn't be able to do if it happens to a few other banks. So the question is, how far does this fall go? Because the FDIC is themselves playing on a leverage. This insurance that they give is a misrepresented, leveraged asset. So that's always the case. I mean, the insurance can handle the every year, the yearly expected number of accidents, but if there's massive events in society that totally change society and totally change in a fundamental nature, the fundamental nature of what accidents are or how likely they are to happen, the insurance cannot insure anymore. Per Palm says, lucky they will have Megan's only fan to survive on, Claire Strode. Would you consume Megan's only fan? I wouldn't. Barclays joins Goldman in expecting a Fed pause next week due to financial market disturbance, financial market turbulence. So people are starting to expect that the Fed will stop its rate hikes because further rate hikes may uncover other secret losers of the market. You know, I said that in a bear market, in the market we were headed for a couple of months ago, I said, you're going to see a lot of the fake players getting exposed because more tension on the money flow from the top, of course, exposes the pyramid schemes, exposes the lies, and that's what we're seeing. So perhaps the Fed will say, we don't want to expose any more lies because that could be catastrophic. 1 year expectations tumble at fastest pace on record. 1, 3, 5 year inflation expectations. I don't know why this changes now. Probably because people see a potential recession coming. So people think there's not going to be 6% inflation forever because this is such major events that it will lead to a depression or kind of depression, and people will spend less, people will be closer to their money, will be more careful. Perhaps they are right. I think it's very early to make this declaration, not knowing exactly how will the Fed respond to perhaps more bank collapse. I wouldn't bet my life on the idea that we're done with inflation. We're going to go back to the sweet, sweet 2% that we've always done. that may be an old video. It looks like it may be old, but it's too hilarious. Someone was saying on Twitter, the Ukrainian parliament, why does the West support the shithole country? So the Ukrainian parliament apparently is a very high action place. They have, like, if you have umbrellas to protect yourself from projectiles, first, what is an umbrella really protecting you from? They're choking this guy.
Депутати зареєструвалися в сесійній залі. Давайте складайте присягу. Присягаю додержуватися Конституції України та законів України. Присягаю до.
A smoke bomb had been released. And look, the guy has a gun. The guy gets it from under the smoke and he has a gun. And I was looking to try to date this moment. I couldn't exactly date, so I don't know when that happened. Could be a long, long time ago. But I catched other video, apparently, where it's a relatively common thing. Smoke bomb in the Ukrainian parliament 5 years ago. Okay, but it was less chaotic then. It wasn't accompanied with all the fighting between the politicians. John Stone, Imperial Narrative Managers, always try to make peace seem unnatural. That is very well said. For so many years, that's what we had with the Middle East. American leaders, one after the other, would would make peace sound abnormal. They wouldn't talk about it. The only option was war. The only option was we must find the terrorist. We must pursue the terrorist. One really can't say enough unkind things about people who are openly trying to pave the way toward an atomic age world war. In a remotely sane world, such monsters would be driven from human civilization and die cold and alone in the wilderness with nothing but their bloodlust to keep them company. beautifully said, beautifully written article. It made me think about a clip that people were sending me a lot yesterday in response to Eric Weinstein blocking me on Twitter. Because in that clip, he made this whole appeal to Jewish supremacism, basically saying we are the chosen people, not because we're above others, but because we have unleashed the power of the sun onto this earth. He considers that the atomic bomb is a contribution from the Jewish people, and he's worried about it. And he believes that because he feels guilty about it, he should be the one entrusted with being the shepherd of the world toward peace. I can't help but think that this is ridiculous. I can't help but think that, holy shit, is that a grand vision that is dangerous? Why would we trust the very people who have been contributing to this weapon to be the greatest advisors in its use? It seems to me that it's the last person I would go to. It seems to me that given the extreme involvement history of Israel in pushing war from America into the Middle East, it seems to me that Israel isn't a state I would head toward to get counseling on how to establish world peace and how to avoid nuclear conflicts. And it's so sad that he blocked me on Twitter, because in the end, if he is true, if he is genuine, Eric Weinstein, about pursuing peace, which I'm doubting, to be honest, but I'm willing to give an open ear to this. Is he serious about peace? Because I would tell Eric Weinstein, if he was to unblock me and I could speak to him, I would tell him, Eric, you won't understand the path toward peace because you are willfully blinding yourself about the path toward war. You are willfully blinding yourself to the set of causes that lead to the current state of the world. And because of this, you are an unfit shepherd to drive us toward peace. I really, really want peace. And so I'm very annoyed that someone else who claims to want peace would block me like this on Twitter, because I think there could be an interesting conversation to be had. To me, the first ingredient toward world peace is to not be willfully blind to what caused our current state of war, which is forms of colonialism, forms of influence politics in America that led to war, that led an entire segment of the world population to hate Americans and to associate America with war. And there is no touching on this subject without Eric Weinstein reviewing his world conception. And I see an obfuscation that is really clear in his head when he tries to make for explanations about how Jeff Epstein ultimately must have been an agent of some other nation than Israel. This is this is the signature of these horse races where the horses have their blindfolds on. And that is how Eric sees the world. How do I take someone who was obviously Jewish, who was obviously hiring Ghislaine Maxwell, who was within the Israeli establishment? How do I make this not a Jewish story? And there is a point at which pursuing these unlikely hypotheses is dishonesty. And I think Eric Weinstein reached it. And I think that because he cannot fix this issue with himself with respect to Jeff Epstein, there is extremely low probability that he will ever succeed at fixing it with war also in general. Because if he is so obfuscating on a basically a mundane story, because Jeff Epstein, who cares? But the way he tried on Joe Rogan to say, I'm sure that behind this whole Jewish organization, all connected within the Jewish networks of billionaire, the Jewish networks of American billionaires, the Jewish networks of European billionaires, the Jewish networks of Israeli intelligence. The fact that Eric Weinstein looks at this and says, I'm sure there's a Chinese or a Russian behind Jeff Epstein, tells me that he cannot possibly understand peace or war, because he's not willing to even study the possibility that his own people may be at the center of some of it. Go away, says Jeff. War is natural. It is innate to the human spirit. Every soul can only be so lucky as to be born in a time of just war and die as a warrior. Okay, go away. Excellent ode to keyboard warriorism. Go away. But I don't see you bleeding on the battlefield. I see you leading a keyboard warrior quest here on the public space on JFG tonight. But I don't see you bleeding from bullets right now. So you make ode to the warriors, but are you really one? Micronova sends a super chat. He says, we contributed to weapons of mass destruction, so we need to guide and control the world. Illusions of grandeur and unworthy masters. Absolutely. And it's kind of a disgusting leverage that he has in his mind. We created the things that could destroy you, therefore let us control you. It's exactly what an abuser or a violent person or a criminal ultimately does. It's like, oh, I have power over you. I have a gun. I have something to threaten you with. Therefore, do as I say. And Stephen Robinson says, they turned the fucking frogs gay. We're not even getting into this, but they did. Uchief says, the quest for COVID origins remains a morally imperative. The chief of the WHO said it is morally imperative to find the origins of the COVID pandemic, which has caused millions of deaths worldwide, as Beijing continues to obfuscate sharing crucial data with the world. Understanding COVID's origin and exploring all hypotheses remains a scientific imperative to help us prevent future outbreaks and a moral imperative for the sake of the millions of people who died and those who live with long COVID. One could interpret this as, oh, is the WHO disconnecting from Chinese interest? But I don't think it's going to happen. The WHO has always been extremely submissive toward China and all this thing. And ultimately, China is the one. There's a bunch of people in China who probably know for sure where it happened, who was at the center of the leak, who was patient, maybe patient zero. But they don't have any interest at exposing this because it would make them look bad, it would discredit research in their country, it would have massive consequences and perhaps legal consequences at the international level. Perhaps there would be some punishment for them. So they're gonna use all of their powers to hide the truth, and the WHO will never really have leverage because they collaborate with all these countries, they are in these countries, their employees potentially can be put in danger by authoritarian government. You can see in some of the interviews that they did early in the pandemic that one of the WHO's people who was talking about China was unwilling to say Taiwan, was unwilling to say the word. So they are truly enslaved by China. Mayor of Seoul calls for, and this will be our last news item for tonight, Mayor of Seoul calls for South Korea to develop nuclear weapons. South Korea should develop and build nuclear weapons as a means to defend itself from the growing nuclear threat from North Korea, The mayor of Seoul, Oh Si-hoon, said in an exclusive interview with Reuters. I believe this is balloon testing for a proxy strategy of the U.S. So they start seeing, hey, we'd like to have controllable nuclear missiles in the Asian region that would give us a good attack point toward Russia, that would give us a good attack point toward Russia's proxy, potentially in North Korea. And so South Korea having nuclear weapons, to me, is not a question of sovereignty. It's a question of American imperialism. Because ultimately, these nuclear weapons would only be used in line with the American decision-making process, you know? So Neon Blacksmith says, that article does actually glow. Yes, and there's many layers to this. Yes, there is a picture that is glowing. So perhaps that's why I misspoke and said growing. But also, fundamentally, this whole thing is glowing. It's glowing American intelligence military interest. It's like, it seems that they are trying to push this idea on the public, trying to see, can we frame this as South Korea, like the mayor of South Korea, just wanting to defend himself against North Korean aggression. When really what we're talking about is the U.S. having launching ports in the backyard of Russia and in the backyard of potentially China. So let's never fall for the. There's going to be so much brainwashing coming, especially if we go into a recession and that the only way out of this recession is a major war. Oh my God, are the warmongers going to make the case that we should go to war? And oh, it's horrible what China does, and it's horrible what Russia does, and they are setting for this war. It's too bad because I really loved peace times. I loved the times of relative peace, or at least where there was no grand invasion of the Middle East. But unfortunately, it's going to come back. And traditionally, it's been the way the U.S. has pulled itself out of depressions by just creating a huge state apparatus that would fund so much war activities that the whole system would grow with it. Micronova says, fun fact, most of North Korea nuclear arms are in the form of artillery rounds. NK mixed them with regular artillery barrage. Range is whatever artillery can hit. North Korea's ICBM tech is likely to be shut down, so North Korea focused on artillery nuclear rounds. I didn't know this, but it does make sense. You know, when we see them launch missiles over Japan, it seems that we get to know that these missiles are sent at the second where they are sent. So it's clear that we are monitoring the situation. Stephen Robinson says, breaking. Jim Cramer says, sell your Bitcoin. Yes! Yes, Jim, keep it up!